Egyptian bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And so a couple weeks off, but we're now back in the story of Joseph. We had that side story with Judah and the tribe of Judah and what comes out of that. And now we're back in the life of Joseph, who was sold into slavery. He's 17, probably almost 18 years old. His brothers say, here comes this dreamer. They're upset. They go lie to their dad. So their dad, Jacob, thinks that he's dead, but he was sold into slavery. And now he's made it to Egypt, and Potiphar, the second in command in all the realm of Egypt, second to the Pharaoh, is now overcharged, or the overlord of Joseph. In verse 2, and the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And so I believe, and most scholars believe, that a couple of years have passed by now. Joseph has showed himself worthy, and he becomes this prosperous man in the land of Egypt. I don't think he showed up one day as a slave and became prosperous that day. So it seems to be the Lord has blessed him there. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. I think that's a very important verse right there for us to see. Old Testament truth does not always mean New Testament reality, but principles don't change. And one of the principal things that we see about Joseph is his righteous integrity, his hard work. If we were making this a New Testament verse, we would say that Joseph lived his life as salt and light. That he literally did not allow God to be diminished in his presence and the way he lived his life. He allowed himself to remain flavorful in his salt to the world. And so even in his condition, being sold into slavery, many of us, we would get bitter and we would get upset and we'd have a hard time, right? We've already had a hard time with our own family, brothers throwing us in. We've been sold into slavery. Now I'm in this foreign land. I'm here. I'm a young guy. And now it would be very easy to get bitter and to be upset. But Joseph lived his life righteously before the Lord. He lived his life as salt and light. And I think that's important for us as Christians, because regardless of our circumstances, regardless of what's going on, it is our call to remain steadfast, unmovable, and to be faithful to the Lord and glorifying him and not allowing people to change who we are and shape what we do. And that's hard, isn't it? I mean, maybe you're better than me, but it's hard when people all around you are beating you down to stay the same. But that's what integrity is. Integrity does not change. And Joseph was a man of great integrity. And you see what the Lord did with that. The Lord prospered him. But you know, that's amazing. I always thought about this verse. The Lord prospered him. But think about this. He's a slave. So how did he prosper him? He's not allowed to own any property. He doesn't have a wife. He doesn't have children. He literally is just living off of what Potiphar gives him, but the Lord prospered him. So how could he have prospered him? If he didn't prosper him physically, then he must be prospering him spiritually. And the greater good is that we would prosper spiritually rather than physically. Because we know this from the New Testament. Jesus says, what does it profit a man to gain the entire world or the whole world, yet lose his own soul? Joseph has nothing, yet he has everything. Prospering in the Lord. And I think that's important that we see that. In verse 4, and Joseph found grace in his sight. Similar to Noah, right? Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. Man, if you're saved today, you found grace in the sight of the Lord. Isn't that amazing that we have that same testimony? And here, he found grace in his sight, but he's finding grace in the sight of Potiphar, okay? And so, but that's because of God prospering him. One of the ways that God prospers is giving us grace in situations we're in. I think that this is an important thing for us to understand. God has shown his grace to us, and all of you have different situations. I can only speak to personal testimony. I was telling Ms. Chandra Thursday, she was able to come and help with some things going on at our preschool and to go make visits with me. And as I keep going on as the chaplain at Cypress Point, the longer I'm there, the more God's grace is opening doors. The more people are coming to me. It used to be just like, go see these people. Now the employees are like, can you pray for me? And pastor this, pastor that. And that wasn't always that way. There was doors that are shut, but God's grace. And now we have grace in the sight of the director there. We had a Cypress, this is how faithless I am. Brother Brandon laughed at this. We had a Cypress appreciation because of being the chaplain around Thanksgiving. I said, we're just going to make a meal for them. I said, there'll probably be like 10 or 15 people to show up. And so we ordered this amount of food. Brother Brandon's like, do you need my help? I was like, nah, go home. I got it. It won't be a big deal. I don't need any help. 30 people showed up. And another 25 people showed up. Another 25. I ordered from Lee's right here like three times to get them over here. And the director showed up. And she said this to me. The director, she said, yeah, I told all my people they need to come. Because if you're hosting, this is important that they need to come. So now we have favor or grace in the sight of the person that's over this whole realm. And so I've been getting flooded with calls of, hey, can you go visit this person? Can you go visit that person? And you know what's happened in that period of time? This isn't braggadociously. I usually don't even tell my staff or anybody this because I don't. Me and Brother Coker talked about this. I don't necessarily agree that that verse, that he that winneth souls is wise, is the same thing. But here's what I'm saying. I don't really like being called a soul winner because I know I didn't do anything in that but be the messenger. But do you know in that period of time that, man, I've been just leading people to the Lord like crazy at Cypress Point. People have been getting saved. I don't even know how many. Miss Nancy's not here. Pray for her as well. She had influenza B. She's on the rebound. She wants to come to work tomorrow, and I told her no, take another day. But it's not because of me. It's God's grace. God has given us influence, and he's allowed us. But you know why I know that that's working? Because they see, not just me, Brother Chuck goes there Monday and Tuesday and does Bible studies, and people go in there. Kitty goes and sees her beloved, and Miss Ruby goes in there and sees Miss Betty. And you know what they're saying? They're saying, this church is living for the Lord, and it's opened the door for us. Not just me, I'm talking about us. Xavier got to go and preach at Palm Sunday, and other people last year, the Hatchers went and sang, and they are seeing that this church really cares about us, and God's grace is upon them, and so now it's given us grace and opportunity. If God's grace does one thing for us as Christians on earth, is it opens doors for us. And so that grace he's given us has now appeared in the fact that I go and talk to people about Jesus Christ. And so now grace is appearing before them. And it's an amazing thing. It really is how that works. And you see that with Joseph here. He finds grace in the sight of the Lord, but he also finds grace in Potiphar's sight. And he served him, and he made him overseer over his house. And all that he had, he put into his hand. And so he says, it's kind of like Daniel. He's so perfect in his generation. He's so right in his generation. He's such a good young man that he's going to become high in his position. And I'll say this, I'm not a political man, but man, we need some real Bible-believing Christians in political power, in political positions. We need some real Bible-believing Christians in corporate power, and in jobs, and in the ministry. We need some real Bible-believing Christians in every avenue of life. And the more people we have like that, the better off it is. Because when we have people in those positions that are going to do the right things by God, that just helps us, doesn't it? I was talking to a young couple today, and I said, you know, God has given us three institutions, I said, and they're all supposed to be for our good, but when was the last time you felt like the government was really for you? Now watch, you're all shaking your head and saying yes, but I'm going to tell you how the government's good for you right now. Regardless of how you feel about it, the government is protecting you right now. Because the United States military is at war, but here, were you nervous today that anybody was going to come and invade us? I wasn't. Were you nervous today to carry your Bible openly and proud? That's because God has given that institution, and I know there's government and he's not just Americanized, but our situation, our circumstance is that we live in this most free nation, but people fight and bleed and die and continue to fight for those freedoms. And so that's why I'll never relent on being a proud American. Amen? I'm proud to be an American. But I reminded them this. So don't say the government doesn't do anything for you, that they just make you pay taxes and all this other stuff. You can get mad about your roads not being paved. No, that's local. But at least on the federal level, and even in the city with police and things like that, fire, I'm so thankful that God saw fit to give an institution. So you know what we need? We need some good people in those institutions. We need some good Bible-believing Christians in those institutions. I'm still working on it. I would love to get the fire chief to come to church at Assurance Baptist Church. I would love to get the police chief to come to Assurance Baptist Church. I would love to have some more. We have military people here. I'd love to have some more military people here. You know what I found about those people? Those people that are true Bible-believing Christians, they become the best servants that you have in your church because they know how to take orders, and they're serious about their job. So you get those people, and you put them in a position in the church. They're like, well, we can take orders. They say, Pastor, what do you want us to do? Aye. Okay, and they go do it, and then they're very serious and diligent. You never have to ask them to be on time. You never have to ask them to do this because that's just part of who they are. And so I'm thankful that there are people out there, some Josephs out there who are just the best. I was at Sister Christy Brister's grandma's funeral, and people that I used to work with were there because her dad worked at the same place, and he's a real Bible-believing Christian and a real man of God. And I know I was talking to one of the folks that was his boss, and she was talking about his influence and how she wishes she could have him back there and things like that. And you know what that was? It was just him being salt and light. And that resonated and that transferred over. And I'm glad we have people in those positions. Verse 5, and it came to pass from that time that he had made him an overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. Gosh, isn't that what the Abrahamic covenant looks like? That all those who bless you will be blessed and all those that curse you will be cursed. And even though we are not Abrahamic as far as race, we know that real Jews or real Israelites are all those who have accepted it by faith as Abraham. And isn't it cool that we get to bless lost people by our presence? Whether you like this or not, whether you think this is true or not, when we were out on Grow on Thursday, whether they accepted it or not, you know what we were doing? Blessing lost people. Because anybody you had a survey you talked to that saved, it may have like blessed their soul that we were there, but the people that got saved and the people that we were talking to, the people that never heard the gospel or needed a reminder or a refresher, you know what we were doing? God was using us to bless their home. And that's what's going on here with Joseph. He's blessing him. And he says, and all that he had in his house and in the field. In verse 6, and he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well-favored. He said he didn't even know how much money he had in the bank. He just knew Joseph wasn't going to steal from him. What a testimony. What a blessing. Let me say this. I wish she was here so she could hear me say this. Bud, don't tell her. Nobody else tell her I said this. But you know what? I never worry about what Nancy's doing with the money here. I have a good understanding of the budget because that's my job as the overseer, but I never worry that Nancy's doing something dishonest or dirty. I just go on about my business. Somebody asked me, I said, I don't know, you got to ask Nancy. I don't know, she's the house mom. I don't know. Seriously, I don't. I don't know. I don't want to deal with it. This is her thing. And again, I have a certain awareness and all these things, but I don't have to worry about it. You know what? Whatever we have, she knows. And sometimes I'm like, and sometimes she's like so humble. She's like, Pastor, you want me to do it? And this is what I say to her. I don't care. It's your job. That's what I say to her. I'm like, I don't know. So when Brandon has to bring a receipt, when I have to bring a receipt, we take that to Nancy. They don't got nothing to do with us. That's what she does. We trust. Isn't it good to have trusted people? People you never have to worry about. And you know, Nancy's so cool because she literally is saved and baptized through this ministry. She got baptized in an inflatable pool at Inglewood Elementary School. And to see that growth and to see her to be able to be trusted at that level, what a blessing that is. You know, a lot of churches have a whole bunch of transfer growth, and that's okay. But man, what a blessing to have all the conversion growth at Assurance Baptist Church of people who are blood-bought, baptized right here at this church, who are just our family and enthralled in the ministries of the church. And you see that he was just a goodly person and well-favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Strapping young man, and to be quite honest with you, you know my favorite word, Potiphar's wife's just trifling. Now, again, I can't prove this either, but she's this Egyptian woman. She's married to the second most powerful man in all of Egypt. And my assumption is she's probably a baddie, that she's probably just hot. I mean, that's just my assumption. I could be completely wrong, but to me, she's like all the young people don't know what I'm talking about, but all the old fellas holler if you hear me. She probably looks like Elizabeth Taylor and Cleopatra. You know what I'm talking about? Somebody said, look, the old fella, the old dogs, y'all trifling. Don't do nothing if your wife's here. Get everybody in trouble. You know what I'm talking about? But listen, let's say, that's just my estimation. I could be totally wrong, But he refused and said unto his master's wife, behold, my master wotteth not what it is with me in this house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Notice this. He said all these things about his master, that my master's been good to me. But when he got to sin, he said, how could I sin against God? Now, not everybody agrees with me, but I believe this. You can't sin against each other because sinners can't sin against each other. When you sin against somebody else, what you're really doing is sinning against God. You're doing them wrong, but you're sinning against God. To have an adulterous affair, you're doing the other person wrong, but you're sinning against God because it's God's command. It's God's law. It's higher than just you personally. And so he says, I can't sin against God. That's outrageous. No matter what you look like, girl, I can't do that. What's the integrity of this man? When it came to pass that she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie by her or to be with her. There's lots of names that we have for this young lady. None of them are holy. But Joseph keeps running away. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business. He's going in to go to the restroom. And there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. And so he runs away as fast as he can. And he's been going to the restroom and she holds on to it. And now this is what people do. And this is what the devil will do. When the devil can't have his way with you, he'll try to lie on you. When the devil can't get you caught up in a lie, he'll try to make another way to get you. He'll set up another, the Bible calls them snares. He'll set up another trap for you. He didn't get you in the bear trap, so he's going to set up a raccoon trap. You know what I'm talking about. So he couldn't get him that way. So when it happens, watch what happens. And he runs out, verse 14, that she called unto the men of the house, of her house, and spake unto them, saying, see, he hath brought an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice. So now she accuses him of rape. And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, the Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto mock to me, or mock unto me to mock me. And it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard the words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into prison, a place where the king's prisoners were, where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. You know, I won't spend a lot of time on that, but it's interesting to me. Here's this woman I perceive to be good looking. She's married to the second most powerful man, and it didn't take anything for her. We know the story. She'd been trying to get at Joseph, and it didn't take anything for her to just lift up her voice and say he was wrong. Now, hear me really closely, Christian. Joseph hadn't done anything wrong, but you can be in a position and somebody can make accusation against you and it can make you look really, really bad. Now, this isn't Joseph's issue, but you better take very good care and better be very systematic on who you're alone with, who you're here with. We have things set up inside of our church where, listen, I don't want Brother Brandon alone with a young lady and going there, and I'm not alone. We have cameras here and there to protect ourselves. If we're taking someone home, we don't want to have this. I had to like up my age because, you know, when you're in your 30s and 20s in ministry, it was like ladies that were 50, I wasn't thinking about that. But then one day you wake up and you're 44, and I'm like, wait a minute, this is my age range, and so I better wait because even some people at Young at Heart are in my age range, and so I better up that and like at least have them be like mommy age. One of the reasons why Nancy is my secretary is because she's my parents' age, and so it's not awkward or weird for her and I to be here alone together. Nobody would accuse that or think about those things, and I know that those aren't pretty things to think about, but they're things that happen every day. And we have to be wise and be careful. Now, Joseph wasn't in that position, but notice what it said there. When no other witnesses were in the house, when all the men of the house were out, Joseph's just trying to go to the bathroom, but she knew exactly when to attack. The enemy is smarter than we give him credit for, and he knows exactly when to attack. You got to be careful. When you go to the bathroom, I mean, your guard's pretty down at that point, isn't it? Remember later on in the Bible, when David gets Saul, when does he get him? When Saul's going to the bathroom. Your guard is down. Sometimes as Christians, put our guard down, and that's when Satan attacks. So he goes on here. He's in prison, but in verse 21, but the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. So he becomes the trustee or the inmate worker. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, that he which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Even in jail, God's with him and is making him to prosper. It reminds me so much later of the story of Daniel and the Hebrew children, how they're just prospering through all those things. But it also reminds me that if we stick close to the Lord, that even in harsh and critical circumstances, the Lord will be with us and we can still prosper. We can still prosper in these places. Chapter 40. And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. Now, the butler is easy to me, but the baker, it's like, did he just make bad cakes? Or I don't know. Now, it's going to tell us the story, but in my mind, if I was like rich and powerful, the last person I'm trying to get rid of is my baker. Now, that's just, you know how I feel about cookies and cake, all right? You can have the butler. I'll serve myself, but somebody's got to be bringing me some cookies. Amen. But let's go back to it here. And the Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in a ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in the ward. So we don't know exactly how long they were there, but a season is a fixed period of time. Usually it's a few years, generally. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream, in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream. The butler and the baker, the king of Egypt, which were bound in the prison. And Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? And they said unto him, we have dreamed a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. And Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. And the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, in my dream, behold, a vine was before me. And in the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup, and I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said unto them, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. And so he's going to explain it very clearly to us. 3 days. Yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto thy place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou was his butler. And so he's going to be free from prison, and he's going to go right back into the position that he was in before he went to prison. He's going to be exonerated. But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. So he says, when you get back to that high position, remind the Pharaoh that I'm in prison, and remember how good I was to you and who I am here, so that maybe Joseph wants him to go and name drop, right? He wants him to go and be like, hey, get me out of this place. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said unto Joseph, I also was in my dream, and behold, I had three white baskets on my head. So the chief baker, he's one of those people that's kind of a hanger-on, and he's like, oh, he's giving out good dream interpretations. Let me get one of those. Sorry, not going to happen. And in the uppermost basket there was all manner of baked meats for Pharaoh, and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off thee. Joseph, could you give me another interpretation? I don't like this one. And it came to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday. That was very common in the ancient world. Remember John the Baptist. The way that John lost his head is they're celebrating the birthday, right? And Herodias comes in there, and you know the story. And John the Baptist loses his head for the sake of this young woman dancing and things like that. So they celebrated these birthdays. And on their birthdays, it was kind of like they did something to make them happy. In this ancient, archaic, cruel world, it was like, what's going to make me happy? I'm going to chop off the heads of people that have done me wrong. Okay, there it is. And so came the pass, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast unto all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler. So he lifted up their heads. He brought them to him, okay? Habeas corpus, bring the head. He brings them to him, and he restored the chief butler into his butlership again. So what Joseph said, and he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them, yet did not the chief member Joseph... chief member Joseph, but forgot him. And so he was supposed to remember that Joseph had said this to him, and he doesn't say anything to him. So Joseph stays there in prison, even though everything Joseph told them was going to happen, happened. Well, that would prove a couple of things, right? It would prove that Joseph, that he said these interpretations come from God. So it would prove that his God, at minimum for these polytheistic people, is a God. And two, it would prove that Joseph is honest. And you get there, and this happens, and you would think, oh, well, we're going to, the butler is going to let him know, hey, you really need to get a hold of this guy, but he doesn't. You know what I've learned about people? They might remember things, whatever, but as soon as they get what they want, they forget all about you. Come on. You know that's true. Brother Brandon, I'm going to tell him our personal business, okay? Not between me and you, but Brother Brandon knows this. Did you guys know I have several part-time jobs? Did you guys know that? I have several part-time jobs. It goes on throughout the week. From time to time, I'll just get calls. Brother Brandon knows what it is. Brother Brandon, what am I? I'm the associate pastor of lots of churches, hundreds of churches. Because all of a sudden, their pastor or their staff guys call me, and they're like, Brother Bryson, we need some advice, or we need this, or we need that. And so I'm the associate pastor of many churches. It's an unpaid job, and it's a thankless job. And they all need me till they don't. And as soon as they're out of ministry, or as soon as they've moved on from the position, when they're in the depths, they're crying, oh, Pastor Bryson, I can't do this. And as soon as they're released from that, it's like the chief butler, they forgot all about. And I can give them, like, all the wisdom I can and do all these things, and they're all for it. And then all of a sudden, once it's time to like lift up their head from that place, they forgot all about Pastor Bryson. And you know what? I lose that job, but there's somebody else that comes into my life. And so just last week, I became the associate pastor of another church. It's just part of my life. But you know, that is funny to me how when people are down, they want you and they need you. But as soon as they get going well, they don't forget all about you, didn't they? Isn't that interesting? Again, a principle that we see. But you know what Joseph didn't do, and you know what I never do? I don't let it change me. I don't let it affect me and my testimony. I don't allow other people's circumstances. I don't allow other people's questions, other people's fierceness, other people's inconsistencies to affect me. My job is to continue to serve Jesus. And continue to stay steadfast and continue to stay unmovable in that sense and not allow other people's. I say this much, and it probably gets old, but I could care less what anybody else is doing at their church. Ain't none of my business. This is the church that God has called me to steward. This is the church that God has calls me to pastor, and I'm just trying to do the best here as I possibly can. And what's going on at somebody else's church, that's their business. I tell them that when I go preach at their churches. They invite me to come preach, and I say, I just want y'all all to know, I'm not here to be nice. I'm here to huff and puff and blow the house down. And when I leave, if you don't like me, too bad. I'll know if your preacher does, because he'll invite me back or he won't. Amen? And that's where it is. Because you know why? It's not my flock. What goes on there on the weekly basis, on the daily basis, is not my business. I'm only worried about what God's called me to do. And so I have to stay consistent for that. Chapter 41, oh man, we're doing great, guys. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. So we talked about these seasons. So now this has happened. So now at the end of 2 full years, that Pharaoh dreamed, and behold, he stood by the river. And behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, and fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. So these cattle. And behold, 7 other kine came up after him out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. And the ill-favored and the lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine. So Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time, and behold, 7 ears of corn came upon one stalk, rank and good. And behold, 7 thin ears blasted with the east wind sprung up after them, and the 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears, and Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt and all the wise men. That word magicians, we get our word psychic from in the English language. And all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. God is so awesome in the way he does things. he sends these dreams. You know, Nebuchadnezzar gets the dreams, and you see this with Pharaoh, gets these dreams, and God's like, I'm gonna get your attention. You know, one of the most memorable things that happens in life. I can remember these things. I don't dream very often, but have you ever been woken up out of your sleep by a dream or something like that? Isn't it memorable? Can't you go back and kind of remember what you were thinking about, what you're dreaming about? I mean, they say everybody dreams, but I don't vividly dream and like remember things like that. But there's been a few times in my life where I've had a dream so vivid, so real that it woke me up out of my sleep. And years later, I can still remember what that dream was about. And God knows that about us, right? And so what's one of the ways that if this happens, you wake up and you're like, it was so real. And you want to tell somebody about it, right? You want to go and tell somebody. And so Pharaoh is afraid. He's at this place. Here's the most powerful man in all the world. And he goes, and in the morning, his spirit was troubled, and he sent and he called for the magicians of Egypt. He's like, I want to know what this is. And they were much into fortune telling and all those things, even throughout the Old Testament, the familiar spirits and the wizards and those things. And so in verse 9, then spake the chief butler unto the Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my faults this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants and put me in the ward, the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. And we dreamed a dream in one night. I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of the dream. And there was with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. And we told him, and he interpreted to us our dreams, to each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as did he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came in unto Pharaoh. So the Egyptians, the ancient Egyptians, you see that kind of depicted in the Ten Commandments, were generally shaven, where a Hebrew is just kind of going to grow and have their hair, I don't want to say all which away, I don't know, but they weren't clean shaven like that. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream, and there is none that can interpret it. And I have heard say of thee that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. I just love it because, again, he repeats, it's not anything I can do. It's God. When we talk about giving all glory to God, pointing all of our, everything that happens, it can become kind of like annoying sometimes when people are like, you know, oh, you did so good, and you're like, all glory to God. You're like, well, just take some credit. But in reality, when we know who the gift came from or we know who the grace came from, giving people, citing your sources is a thing, isn't it? Giving people proper credit. And anything good in our life, any good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights. So anything good in our life, we ought to give all glory to God. Yes, we ought to give him the credit. You know what? People say, oh, well, you know, this is that. All glory to God. Not anything because of me. I may have been obedient in this, but I could not get it without God gracing it to me. And so we go on here, and it says, it's not me, it's God. And Pharaoh said in verse 17 unto Joseph, in my dream, behold, I stood upon the bank of the river, and behold, there came up out of the river seven kine, fat-fleshed and well-favored, and they fed in a meadow. And behold, seven other kind came up after them, poor and very ill-favored and lean-fleshed, such as I never saw in all the land of Egypt for badness. And the lean and the ill-favored kind did eat up the first seven fat kind. And when they had eaten them up, it could not be known that they had eaten them, but they were still ill-favored as at the beginning, so I awoke. And I saw in my dream, and behold, seven ears came up, and one stalk full and good. And behold, seven ears withered thin and blasted with east wind sprung up after them. And the thin ears devoured the seven good ears. And I told this unto the magicians, but there was none that could declare it to me. And Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. So he says it's one thing. God hath showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. Seven good kind are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dream is one. And the seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. Now understand, famine is not like when we have a snowstorm and Kroger's shelves are empty. Some of y'all, a couple years ago, the truckers were on strike, and you just thought, just Chicken Little, just thought we were never going to eat again. I got friends that are like, we're going to live off the land. We're making a garden and we're going to have all of our fish. And that's a blessing. Good. But a famine for them, when their crops didn't grow, this is it. When they didn't get a good crop, when they didn't get enough, there's nowhere else to go. You're not going to, this is stupid, but she was here this morning. Me and Miss Sherry Salyer, we love Code Red Zero Mountain Dew. And you can't get it up this way. You have to go down south to get it these days. You can't get it. You have to order it. And we'd be crying. We can't get no Code Red Dew. Just crying because you can't find it. We were literally going to Kentucky, or if we were down south, we would literally buy those stores out and then share it with each other. We were like each other's Code Red dealer. You know what I mean? Like, I'm pulling up to her house, and I'm dropping off like six loads of Code Red. She's got Jacob walking in with six for me, whatever. Just whatever we could do, and we're like, I mean, it was starting to be a little ridiculous, honestly. It was. At Christmas time, like, one time she came back and the whole back of her car was full, and she's like, I got six for me and six for you. And it was like drug deals were going down, and I was like, this is a little ridiculous. My garage was literally like stacked up with Code Red Zero Dew, and like, Lord forbid somebody would even attempt to drink one of those. Like, those are liquid gold. That's daddy's pop. Amen. We think famine, and we don't really know what famine is. They're going to die. There's nothing. This is very serious. And the king, or the Pharaoh, was to his people the person that they're going to look to. A good Pharaoh, a good king in those days, did two things for his people. He protected them, and he made sure that they could eat. Now, we're going to have famine, and it's going to be 7 years. Can you imagine 7 years of no crops coming in? Now, even here in America, if there's 7 years of no crops coming in, it's going to raise the prices astronomically. But here's the cool thing for us. We'll be able to get it from overseas, with or without tariffs. I know this about America. We're going to eat. Amen? I don't know if it's meat or not, but McDonald's is still going to be serving Big Macs. I know they just are. Don't act like you never ate a chicken nugget at McDonald's and that you never got a beak. You know you got a beak before. You ever got a beak? Look, Miss Sophie don't want to hear that. Y'all never got a beak before? Just something in there that's a little gristly and you're like, that's the beak. Everybody ate dinner? You guys want me to tell you how they make it? Never mind. Let's If you eat bologna, then you just go on and keep eating McDonald's chicken nuggets. It's all the same. It won't matter to you. But verse 28, let's keep reading before I get myself in trouble. Put enough sweet and sour on it, I'll eat anything anyway. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh. Remember who he says. He gave God the credit for giving the dream, but he also lets him know, here's what's coming in judgment. This is from God. Why would he say that? Because Pharaoh, you need to know, because Pharaoh is not a believer of our God, right? And so Pharaoh, you need to know why this is coming, and hopefully that will get you right. Now, the Pharaohs obviously continue to act the fool. This Pharaoh doesn't, but eventually, 400 years later, they do. And what God is about to show with unto Pharaoh. Behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. And there shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. The Holy Spirit just gave this to me, guys. In Sunday school this morning with the youth, what did we talk about? Saving some money, right? And what was the main reason we talked about saving money? Anybody remember? All the girls are here too. What is it? No. We did talk about that money. Why did we say that it's really important to save some money up? $2,400. Why was it important? Emergency fund. Because stuff happens, doesn't it? $500 deductible, $1,000 deductible. Like I told you, Dave Ramsey says you need to have a $1,000 emergency fund. I don't think it's enough, because $1,000 is just your deductible, and Lord forbid your roof cave in or your fence falls down or your plumbing messes up. You need $1,000 and you'll be out. $2,400 was what we talked about saving in 4 years as a young person in high school. If you take $500 and make $500 a month and save some of that throughout the year, you can get $600 by saving that money, and at the end of that, you can have $2,400. But why is that important? Because sometimes famine comes. Hey, away. Sometimes somebody loses a job. Somebody gets laid off. Sometimes prices just double and triple astronomically because who knew it and who saw it coming? But we all lived through something called COVID-19. So it's important. He says, here's going to be 7 years. We need to lay up. We need to keep all this food for 7 years because there's going to be 7 years where nothing grows. So we're going to have to do this very wisely. We talked about that proverb about storing up, that the wise man stores up, right? So that he doesn't have to go and borrow from anybody else, because when you borrow from somebody else, you become slave to it. And you know what? Joseph had this dream and he told his brothers, someday you're going to come and bow down to me and our mother and our father too. And you know why they have to? Because they run out of food and they have to go and beg, because they become servant. The borrower becomes servant to the lender. Anybody here, don't raise your hand. If you got a credit card, you're a servant. If you got a house loan, you're a servant. If you got a car loan, you're a servant. If you owe your Uncle Joe, you're a servant. He'll probably talk bad about you. At least Chase Bank really ain't going to talk bad about you. Amen? It's just how it is. That's why the Bible tells us not to lend each other money, because it can cause hard feelings between each other. Because you know how it is, you borrow them back. If you get the wrong person, you'd be like, when are you going to pay me that money back? When are you going to get that back to me? When you, and then they tell everybody, yeah, my old cousin, he owed me $30. He ain't never paid me back my $30. Bro. And then they say, yeah, I did pay you back. And then there's an argument. The guy next door was laughing the other day because he's a nice guy, and I've invited him to church thousands of times. And he's like, he's one of those guys, preacher, he cooler than a fan, boy. He's like, preacher, I can't come to church. If I step on that porch, the church is going to fall down. I say, oh, yeah. I said, let's try it. I said, what's it to you? I said, I'm the one that's got to deal with it. If you step on the front porch and the church falls down, I got to call the insurance company and I got to deal with it. I said, everybody's got to come in the back door. He's like, you funny, preacher. I said, I'm not trying to be funny. Come on, let's try it. Step up here. So the other day, he's like, he asked me a question, which he doesn't, he talks to me, but he doesn't really ask me spiritual questions. And he said to me, he was on the phone with someone, he got off, he's like, hey man, somebody always trying to borrow some money from me. I said, was it one of my cousins? I said, because they always try to borrow money. He said, what do you do about that? I said, it's easy. No. He's like, to everybody? Yeah. Why? I said, because I don't trust people. And he's looking at me like he knows I'm the pastor. He's like, what? I was like, I don't trust nobody. I said, nobody that's begging, that's asking me for money. I said, because the people that I really love, the people that I really care about, they know me well enough that if they need something, they ain't got to borrow from me. I just gave it to them. I said, so when my little raggedy cousins call me talking about, I'll pay you back, cuz, you don't know me well enough that if you just would have called with the right heart and I thought you were going to use it for the right things, I would have just gave it to you if I had it to give. See, there's a different principle. Joseph's like, hey, watch. I want to show you what's going to happen. But remember what Joseph gets to the end of this story. I'm ahead of myself. He says, all this is happening, God meant it for good. Every single part of this, me being sold into slavery, my brothers acting a fool, them hating me, going to prison, God meant all this for good. So let's keep going here and we'll finish up. So he says, here's the dream. It's going to be 7 years of plenty, verse 30, and there shall rise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land. Remember what I said? It's not like now. They're not going to get Amazon care packages to their door. When it consumes the land, everybody's going to die eventually in this period of time. It's dire. And the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine falling, for it shall be very grievous. And for that, the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. He says, he lets you know a couple of times to let you know that it's coming, and it's coming quickly. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt, even in the seven plenteous years, and let them gather all the food of those good years that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities. Here's your savings account, boys. and that food shall be for store and to the land against the 7 years of famine which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not throughout the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this man, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? Watch this. This is kind of funny. Sister Kaylee, we were talking about this, about the woman that's like, you saved me. When you do, and when you are have integrity and you live for the Lord and you and people see the favor of the Lord on you, you know what often happens? They see God working through you, and so they start to celebrate who you are. Now, Joseph doesn't want any credit, but just understand this. One of the byproducts of being a strong, faithful, mature Christian is other people will look at you and see that you are a strong, faithful, mature Christian. And so that's how people will look and go, oh, they may be off doctrinally. Pharaoh's off doctrinally. He's like, it's because of this guy. We know God's in him, but everybody salute this guy. He's the man, right? But you know what? All my pastors that I look up to and admire, whatever, I don't admire them because of the men they are. I admire them because of the God they serve. It's very obvious and evident to me. And I made up my mind a long time ago that I would always, even when I started my own church, that he's coming to do revival, that I would always be subservient to my pastor because of the way that he treated me and the things that he did. And so even to this day, I don't have to. He's not asking me for it. But everything he says to me, I just say, yes, sir, no, sir. It's just how I am. And that's not just my pastor, but other pastors, Pastor Tim Carter, Pastor Wally Miller, men who are very important and vital, Pastor Ryan Bevan. He's not much older than me, but men I respect and revere. And the reason why I respect and revere them is because they respect and revere God. And so I'm not giving them credit. I'm giving God credit, but they get credit because they give God credit. If that makes sense. All right. Let's finish it out here. So Pharaoh sees it's good. Verse 39, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God hath showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. See him getting blessings. You see Pharaoh all excited about how great Joseph is, but Joseph has already told him it's God. Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. So he went from living in the second in command's house and being his to being in the Pharaoh's house and become second in command himself. Potiphar, I don't need you or your woman. I'm working for the big dog. I went from the governor's house to the White House. And I ain't hanging out in the West Wing too often. But every once in a while, I get called up. Now watch this. And so he sets him over all the land of Egypt. In verse 42, and Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. I just like that verse. It's like Joseph was looking like a rapper out here. I don't know why, but it's like whenever I read that, it's like he got a big rig and a big gold. He like Run DMC in 87 to me. I know some of y'all are young, but just understand like LL Cool J, Run DMC, like 85, 86, like that's what it looks like to me. He got a Kango on and he just cool, man. Like Joseph's out there. I bet you Joseph, when the Pharaoh gave him that ring and put that chain on him, I bet Joseph said, word up. You know what I mean? I don't know, but I just like that. It's just funny to me. Sorry, I'm a sinner. All right. Verse 43, and he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bow the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Here's this nobody from nowhere with nothing who had this super cool coat that his dad made him, who his brothers rip it off of him, throw him into a pit. He gets sold into slavery. He goes into Potiphar's house. He gets a rape. He gets put into prison. He says, hey, tell them about me when you get out. They forget all about him. Eventually, a dream comes that God has given to Pharaoh. Now he's out. He gets a ring. He gets a gold rope chain. And now he's riding in the second. And so he's in Air Force Two riding down the street. And people are crying out, this guy is all that in a bag of Grippos. Oh, my. Barbecue. You tell me how good God is, first of all. And tell me that if you're not a man of integrity, if you won't keep yourself pure in the sight of the Lord, that God won't bless you. how God would do it. And notice there was a lot of time that passed from the time that that's first happened to Joseph until now. It doesn't always happen in an instance. This is no prosperity gospel. Just because you're good for a day, little kids, that's how little kids are. If they're good for one day, they want the reward now. I shouldn't say it because their parents are in here. And I'm probably there's probably nobody coming to preschool next year because I'm just Grandpa Pastor Bryson, and I just do the wrong things all the time. On last week, I don't even know what we were doing, but we don't generally have snack time because I just know how that goes with allergies and all this. I just don't feel like messing with them. So they just get a sucker, and every once in a while they get a snack. But last week we were outside, and we were playing, and they come in. They're like, I was like, I'm going to get you guys a juice. And they're like, and cookies? Miss James was like, do you do snacks? I was like, not normally. But they just wouldn't let it go. They're like, Pastor, do you have cookies? Elijah Morton. Here's what he says. No, they all want cookies, but then Eli goes, I'm so hungry. And as Grandpa Pastor Bryson, I said, that Brad and Sierra are not feeding their children. You believe that? What a bunch of nonsense. Just ridiculous. I said, all right, Chandra, let's find some cookies for these kids. So we scrounge around, and you know, we get cookies. And Elodie, Miss Elodie Johnson, if you've ever been around Elodie, she's not going to eat it very fast. And so everybody else is finished, and Elodie's like, she's very polite. She said, excuse me, preacher, I'm still eating mine. I said, well, it's about time for the bus stop. And she was like, this is what she did. She says, she calls him Raxton. She said, here, Raxton, you can have mine. Aww. It's this big, and here's what Raxton did. Oh, Lord, these kids. If we only filmed it, we'd probably make millions of dollars because they are amazing. It's literally, no offense to you, but Thursday is like the highlight of my week. Maybe I'm like longing to be a grandpa so hard, so much, but they crack me up. But my point to that is this. They have to get in line, right? They have line leaders. And I think we're finally at the point, Miss Maddie, I think we're at the point where everybody's okay with being followed now. At the beginning of the year, Brother Brandon knows, at the beginning of the year was like, they would be like, stop following me. Like, that's the point. It's called a line leader. I think we're finally good on that. But I'm like, okay, be quiet, no touching, you have to walk. So right now we're working on temperance or self-control. So I'm like, here's a minute, nobody can talk. And they did good. Miss Chandra was amazed. I was like, nobody can talk for a minute. And they're like, coloring up. I said, if you're good, pastor's going to get you, now this is the key word, pastor's going to get you a snack later, okay? As soon as that minute was up, what do you think the first thing they said was? Is it time for a snack? I said later! And this is what Maisley Black said. Can later be now? No! Are you kidding me? I'll tell you what. No, it's not later. You know, sometimes God's blessing us and he's just telling us it's later. But we as Christians, we're like, now, hurry up and bless us. Hurry up and bless us. We want the blessing now. Hurry up and bless me. Bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me. And God's like, it's later. Maybe you won't see it right now. Maybe you won't get it right now. It's later. Joseph didn't get these blessings. He's going to get even bigger blessings than this. But he didn't get them till later. Sometimes you got to go through some things. Sometimes pastor's going to make you skip and go outside and, you know, walk in a single file line and be quiet for a minute before you get the blessing. But here's the cool thing. Every single one of those kids trust me enough that when I say later, the reason why they say is later now is because they know that Grandpa Pastor Bryson's going to come through. And with God, if God says not right now, but later, we can trust him that it might not be right now, but he cannot lie. He cannot fail that it's going to happen. Let's finish the chapter out here. So he's riding in this chariot, and in verse 44, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name Zaphaniah, and he gave him to his wife Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And so at least at minimum, we believe a 13-year period has passed from the time he got to Egypt till now. It's a long time to wait for something, isn't it? Yeah. 13 years, man. I start thinking about that, and I'm like, I had hair 13 years ago. Not a lot, but I had some. And in the seven plenteous years, We see that the earth brought forth by handfuls, and he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city. He laid it up in the same, and Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much until he left numbering, for it was without number, so much that we can't even count anymore. And unto Joseph were born two sons before the years of famine came, which Asenath, the daughter of Potiphar, a priest of On, bare unto him. And Joseph called the name of the first Manasseh, for God said, he hath made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. What a blessing. We know that this becomes one of the tribes of Israel. And the name of the second called Ephraim, which the whole northern kingdom and most of the Old Testament is named after. And for God hath caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. If you look at those two names, man, wouldn't it be awesome? Aren't these two awesome things that God can do? He can make you forget all the hard stuff, and he can cause you to be fruitful. It's awesome. And the 7 years of plenty that was in the land of Egypt were ended, and 7 years of dearth began to come, according as Joseph had said, and the dearth was in all the land. But in all the land of Egypt there was bread. When all the land of Egypt was famished, the people cried to Pharaoh for bread, and Pharaoh said unto all the Egyptians, go unto Joseph, what he saith to you do. Remember we said that back in Potiphar's house, that Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Joseph did. Same thing here. Remember I made the illustration of Nancy? Hey, don't come to me. I don't know. You got to ask Nancy, right? He says, Joseph has, you need bread? Go ask Joseph. You know what that would make Joseph? A hero. Very wise man and a hero. But you know who Joseph gave the credit to? God. So we call them heroes of the faith, don't we? But God, the Hall of Faith, they're heroes of the faith because God was their hero. And the famine was over all the face of the earth, and Joseph opened all the storehouses and sold them to the Egyptians, and the famine waxed sore in the land of Egypt. And all the countries came into Egypt to Joseph for to buy corn because that the famine was sore in all the lands. You know what I love about this? The entire world comes to this one godly man. And let me give you this in close. We ought to live our life with such integrity, as such salt and light, that the world is drawn to us. Not because we have bread to offer them, but because we have the truth and the one true God. And in order for people to see that, we must live that. Because most people aren't going to give you much time. Those of you that were grow, most people aren't going to give you a whole bunch of time to talk to them. You're going to get a couple of minutes to really make an impact if they open the door, and especially if you're going to get a survey and these things. But the people that do give you time, what I've generally found, if somebody's going to give you time, what they've realized is these people were out doing something, not on behalf of themselves, but on behalf of something else, and then they begin to open up and talk to you. And so we did some testimonies at the end of Grow, and people had stories of this or that. And it's not like we had 100 people that answered the door that wanted to talk to us. But you know what God is honored and God is glorified by? That we walked through a little town and people know, those people on that block know exactly what we were there for. We didn't sell them anything. We didn't ask them for anything. We weren't rude. We weren't nasty. All we wanted to do was find out what they believed about God. And if they'd never heard of God, could we explain to them who he is? That's what God wants us to do. Magnify him. So tonight, if you look at Joseph's life, if there was one word I could say about him personally or individually, it was that he was a person of integrity. But if I could give him an overarching theme of his ministry, of his life, I would say he was a person who just magnified God. He made God bigger in every situation. In prison, he made him bigger. In Potiphar's house, he made him bigger. In Pharaoh's house, he made him bigger. In famine, he made him bigger. When things were fruitful, he made him bigger. All his life, that's all he did, was enlarge God. And that's what our call is to do as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Father God, we thank you that you even have given us a name. You call us in your word. First disciples in Antioch were called Christians, and we are able to call ourselves that. Lord, I don't say it to be facetious in any manner, but I pray that we live up to that. to be Christ-like, to be Christ to everywhere and everywhere we go. As the music begins to play tonight, I'll be quiet. If you've got burdens, if you've got prayer, we talked about prayer tonight, how we ought to be a praying people. There's lots of people in our church family, total with people in and out of sickness and hospital, around 25 people in our church family who are faithful, who aren't here and aren't able to be here today. We ought to be praying for those people. I haven't opened my prayer list all week. Well, today's the first day of the week. Start off with a bang. Maybe here tonight, a hometown crowd, but it's possible that someone here tonight needs to know Christ as personal Lord and Savior. You need to be forgiven of your sins. You need to repent and believe the gospel tonight. Let me just put it to you very simply tonight. Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for your sins. He was buried. He was raised the third day. And in doing that, he defeated death, hell, and the grave. Therefore, we can cry, we are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. If you want to be victorious in Jesus tonight, you need to humble yourself. Call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. By repentance and faith, miraculously, right here, right now. No baptism, not about being a good person. No, right here, right now, God will save you. Because Jesus died on the cross and accomplished everything that needed to be done for salvation to be wrought. If you have other prayer requests,